Good evening. How exciting. I was just thinking about what we've been going over on Sunday mornings and then, what we're going over tonight, continuing on going through the instructions that God had given Moses about how to build the tabernacle and then to sing that song, right? And it's just, better is one day in his courts than thousands elsewhere. The point that we acknowledge that and understand that in our own lives personally, we gain this perspective that is absolutely unshaken by anything at all. I have the privilege, and I believe this is all God ordained, how it was that not only does he have me here serving in this church, but he also has assigned me elsewhere in ministry, and that is as a chaplain for Kaiser. And I see how it is that time and time again, I'm reminded how people of faith respond to different circumstances differently. You know, even though they still have the same emotions, they have the same feelings, all of that, as soon as they're reminded of God's love, of his faithfulness, of his promises, of his love, and it's like that immediately comforts someone. And it's in the most beautiful way. It's like, you know, you can't comfort someone only to a certain in limited extent by just your own words, you know, and in your presence, it does bring comfort. But man, I'm telling you, when you speak of the things of God and someone is truly there and truly has a relationship with the Lord, it makes a huge difference. And so that's what, you know, I love this because as we're singing that song, and we know that as Christians, as believers, that we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And this is a home for the Lord. And it just amazes me. Tonight we're going to be talking about the tabernacle and how it's constructed and what it's supposed to be furnished with. And it all speaks about the Lord and our relationship with him, what he's done for us, and how it is that we are to worship him. This is what we see in the tabernacle, even from the times of the Israelites when they were walking in the desert, as we're going to see this evening. So it's just beautiful. Christianity, our faith, is a sure hope, and it's one that ends in God's glory. And the end is actually just the very beginning. And that's awesome. Talk about a hope given to humanity, right? In the midst of all the trial and all the chaos and everything that's going on around us, we have before us a book, the book, that tells us from beginning to end how it's all going to happen. And it's beautiful. And those who place their trust in the Lord have no reason to be despondent and despair of this life. To be absent from the Lord is to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that's what we look forward to. So let's start out with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into, we're in Exodus chapter 26. So let's pray. Father, oh Lord, we come to you, Lord, with all thanksgiving and humility, Father. We come, Lord, just to hear from you. Continue to speak to us, Lord. And Lord, just stir us up. Lord, stir these souls up, Lord. Awaken them, Lord, to bring you glory in every way. Lord, with every moment that you give us, every breath that you give us, every heartbeat, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would have this confidence in you that we serve a purpose on this life, and that is to glorify you. And so, Lord, remind us once more this evening. Help us to see, even in the construction of the tabernacle, how it is that even then you were pointing forward to our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, and how he is the fulfillment of all of this that we're going to be speaking of this evening. So teach us this evening, I pray, Father. Help us to understand your word. And help us also to apply it to our lives, to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, the tabernacle. In the last chapter, in chapter 25, we started out by seeing how it was that God was giving Moses a list of items to collect for the construction of the tabernacle. The construction of the tabernacle as a whole, you know, including the furnishings, as well as the instructions of the construction of the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, which we went over, the mercy seat, which was the lid of the actual Ark of the Covenant, right? We also saw that Moses received instructions on the table for the showbread and the golden lampstand. We'll also see a little bit later how it is that he gives instructions for the altar of incense that also goes into the holy place. So all of those items go into the tabernacle. It was all to be made exactly after the pattern that was shown to Moses by God on the mountain. And so we're still here on the mountain, Mount Sinai. And Moses is there with the Lord, receiving these instructions straight from him. As a friend speaks to a friend, so God speaks to Moses, as we know the word tells us. This evening we learn of the instructions given to Moses on how to build a tabernacle itself, where the Ark of the Covenant, the table of showbread, and the lampstand will be kept and used, and it's all going to be laid out. At the end of the message, I asked Isaac to cue up a video to kind of give us an idea of what it would look like. And so I always think, you know, you can describe it only so much, and then let's use technology and see how would it look like? You know, what would it how would it really come together? I always loved, you know, you have this idea, you know, to build a building. This always fascinates me. It's like you have this idea in a person's mind, and you explain it to, let's say, for instance, an architect. And so then you have an artistic rendition of what perhaps that thought was. And then he begins to dress it up also, and you begin to work on how it would look. And then once you take it from there, then you give it to other people who figure out how to actually build that. It's not just a cartoon. It becomes reality. And it just always amazes me when I see the finished product. It's like, wow, so that went from concept or an idea to reality. It's material. You can feel it. You can see it. You can touch it. You can walk through it. It all just absolutely amazes me. This is what God is doing with Moses here. He's saying, hey, listen, I'm going to show you the pattern as it is here in heaven. And you need to make it exactly this way on earth. And so it's for you to explain to everyone else that, by the way, I am going to enable, anoint for this work, and you're all going to build it together. And so we're going to see this video after, you know, at the very end, and see how it would all kind of just come together. let's first take a look at the four curtains, because there are four curtains or coverings that are going to go over the tabernacle itself and make up basically the covering, and it's in layers. Four layers of covering. The first covering is made out of linen. Let's start out in chapter 26, verse 1. Moreover, as God is speaking to Moses, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen, and blue and purple and scarlet yarns. You shall make them with cherubim, skillfully worked into them. The length of each curtain shall be 28 cubits, and the breadth of each curtain 4 cubits. All the curtains shall be the same size. 5 curtains shall be coupled to one another, and the other 5 curtains shall be coupled to one another. And you shall make loops of blue on the edge of the outermost curtain in the first set. Likewise, you shall make loops on the edge of the outermost curtain in the second set. 50 loops you shall make on the one curtain, and 50 loops you shall make on the edge of the curtain that is in the second set. The loops shall be opposite one another, and you shall make 50 clasps of gold, and couple the curtains one to the other with the clasps, so that the tabernacle may be a single whole. Now, I want to just, I know it's like, wow, that's a lot of information. Like loops and clasps and gold rings, and that those are the clasps. And, you know, so we have 10, 5 put together at one point, and then at some point they all come together and make one? Yes. So remember, the tabernacle is a portable tent. That's what it is. And so it's beautiful in the way it's made. It all has a purpose. It all means something. And at the same time, it's functional. It's like you have, the Lord he's commanding this to be made in such a way to where when he says it's time to go, that it could all be broken down, it could be rolled up, put away nicely, and taken to the next place that the Lord takes the Israelites. So these sections can be broken down. Each one of these sections has loops on the ends to where the clasps go around, and that's what attaches it to the next section of linen. So initially it's 5 and 5, and then they all come together. But this is the place that God has designated for the people to meet with him. Is it the only place that he will meet with them? And the answer is no. It's much like what we have here this evening. Now, the building does not make up the church. We know that once we leave here, this is nothing more than an empty building. That's all it is. What makes up the church is you, the people of God. You are the bride of Christ. You are the church itself. We can go wherever we want. We can go to the park. And we are, at that point, tabernacling. We are having fellowship in the Lord. But this is the place where God has chosen for his people to meet with him. He has designated the place. He said that this is how it's to be made, constructed, put together, and this is where I'm going to meet with you. It's interesting that God revealed to Moses the way in which to make and arrange the components of the tabernacle. Because if you think about it, we always look at, we look at something from the outside in. God doesn't do that. He's, in his economy, it's always from the inside out, beginning from the end. You know, whoever desires to be first must be last, right? We are to be servants of all. You know, to be looked at him, with utmost, you could say, rejoicing and to please him. Hey, listen, you must be humble and you must serve others. For this, he's starting out with the innermost covering. This curtain that goes on the inside, not on the outside. God is always interested with every detail, but he's choosing to work from the inside out instead of the outside in. We tend to do the latter. He always does the former. In fact, we know that Jesus had a rebuke for the scribes and the Pharisees, talking about the outer. You know, be careful what it looks like on the outside. Because on the inside, it may not be exactly what you see on the outside. In Matthew chapter 23, verses 27 and 28, it says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." God is always more concerned with the heart. You know, even Samuel, when he went to go choose the next king, as God has sent him out, to pick the right one, he was looking at the outward appearance, and yet God was telling him, hey, listen, and this is God speaking. He says, "For the Lord sees not as man sees." So God knows how man sees. You know, you and I look at the outward, and he's saying, God does not look at that. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. This is the Lord speaking to Samuel. So he starts with the inside first. He says, 10 curtains, 5 by 5, coupled together with the gold rings. They will all come together to form one big covering with intricately woven cherubim within it. It'll measure 42 feet by 60 feet. We're talking about cubits, but that's what it comes out to as far as what we would come to understand. 42 feet by 60 feet. And the sets of curtains were not to be sewn together, but rather joined together by these loops and golden rings. The loops were in the linen themselves, and then the loops, or the clasps, brought them together and joined the different sections together. Two things we can see here. Number one, remember that the tabernacle is as was shown to Moses in heaven. This is what God was showing Moses. And we know that through Scripture that the heavenly abode of God is filled with cherubim. Psalm 80, verse 1 says, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth." Isaiah chapter 37, verse 16 says, "O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth." And so this is to say that heaven is full of cherubim. And when the priests and the high priests, the priests would go into the holy place, and what would they see as they look up, as they look around? What do they see around them? This fine linen with cherubim all woven into it. This is what God desired for them to see. It's a beautiful picture and a representation of heaven. Secondly, the joining of the curtains is a spiritual principle of the idea of Romans 12:5, which says, "So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." So we're held together. And so that's the curtain made of linen, but there are three others. That's just number one. The next three are found in verses 7 through 14. Goat's hair, tanned ram skins, and goat skins. Let's continue reading. Verse 7, "You shall also make curtains of goat's hair for a tent over the tabernacle. 11 curtains shall you make. The length of each curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the breadth of each curtain 4 cubits. The 11 curtains shall be the same size. You shall couple 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves. And the 6th curtain you shall double over at the front of the tent. You shall make 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that is outermost in one set, and 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that is outermost in the second set. You shall make 50 clasps of bronze, and put the clasps into the loops, and couple the tent together, that it may be a single whole. And the part that remains of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remains, shall hang over the back of the tabernacle. And the extra that remains in the length of the curtains, the cubit on the one side and the cubit on the other side, shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle on this side and that side to cover it. And you shall make for the tent a covering of tanned ram skins and a covering of goat skins on top." That's the last one. Goat's hair. We went over that, actually, I believe it was last Wednesday. And it's dark, it's thick, it's coarse. And so that's what went after the linen. Where the first was ornamental, the second, third, and fourth are more to serve as a protection. And it's pretty amazing how the last one will come to, and I'll give you the properties of it and how it is that just the Lord was giving this to Moses. Moses came down with these instructions. Just absolutely amazing how it is that it's all made. But each strip of goat's hair was 6 feet, basically 6 feet by 45 feet. That's a big strip. And when joined together by the bronze clasp or the rings and laid over the linen curtain, it was 6 feet longer and 3 feet wider. This was all purposely done. It served a purpose. Because it meant that the fine linen inside layer was never visible from the outside and could only be seen by those who entered through the door of the tabernacle. You could only enter in through the door, the one door. By the way, that door is going to be facing the east. But you could only enter through, or once you entered through that door, then you saw the inside. You saw the cherubim. You saw all that the Lord has to fellowship with Him. Again, speaking of heaven, there's only one way to get in. There's only one door. There's only one way. There's only one road. We know that the door is Jesus Christ. And then we have these tanned ram skins and goat skins in verse 14. The tanned ram skins, they were tanned, or they were dyed red. They had no specific size or arrangement, if you notice that. They just had one verse, and there was no size, there was no arrangement. But what they covered is very clear. What they served to do was very clear. The ram skins were like this fine leather. That's what that was. And the goat skins, or depending on your translation, you know, this one is a little bit tougher to really get exactly what it was, but it's described as goat skins, badger skins, porpoise skins, I believe sea cow skins. They all have the same property, okay, properties. And that is that it was durable and it was waterproof. So it wasn't great to look at from the outside, but it served to as a perfect covering for the tabernacle, to protect it, to seal it, and to protect its contents. Everything inside remained as it was because of this outer covering. It was waterproof. So anything, any dew, any rain, anything that came down, it would just wash off of it and wouldn't affect anything on the inside. Nothing at all. We also have the frame structure as we continue on. Verse 15. You shall make upright frames for the tabernacle of acacia wood. 10 cubits shall be the length of a frame, and a cubit and a half the breadth of each frame. There shall be 2 tenons in each frame for fitting together. So shall you do for all the frames of the tabernacle. You shall make the frames for the tabernacle, 20 frames for the south side, and 40 bases of silver you shall make under the 20 frames, 2 bases under one frame for its 2 tenons. And 2 bases under the next frame for its 2 tenons. And for the second side of the tabernacle, on the north side, 20 frames, and there 40 bases of silver, 2 bases under one frame, and 2 bases under the next frame. So each frame had 2 bases of silver, is basically what we see here. And for the rear of the tabernacle, westward you shall make 6 frames, and you shall make 2 frames for corners of the tabernacle in the rear. They shall be separate beneath, but joined at the top, at the first ring. Thus shall it be with both of them. They shall form the 2 corners, and there shall be 8 frames with their bases of silver, 16 bases, 2 bases under one frame and 2 bases under another frame. Same thing on that side. You shall make bars of acacia wood, 5 for the frames of the one side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the frames of the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the frames of the side of the tabernacle at the rear, westward. The middle bar, halfway up the frames, shall run from end to end. You shall overlay the frames with gold, and shall make their rings of gold for holders for the bars, and you shall overlay the bars with gold. Then you shall erect the tabernacle according to the plan for it that you were shown on the mountain. All right. So Basically, boards, bars, and bases. That's what we see here. The boards are made out of acacia wood, so that's what's run throughout the tabernacle. We've seen it. It was ordered, hey, listen, acacia wood. That's what it's supposed to be made of. 15 feet tall and 2 feet 3 inches wide. The north and south sides of the tabernacle were comprised of 20 boards. So the north and south, you can see the north and the south side are of 20 boards. The west or the back side had 6 boards. So that would be that side. 6 boards that were 15 feet tall by 2 feet 3 inches wide, with 2 additional corner boards. So in the corners, there would be 2 additional boards, which would make for a total of 8 in the back. So you could see 6 along the back, 20. But because the corners are missing, God didn't miss a thing. 2 go in the corner, so that makes 8 in the back. You following? Clear. We got it. We're going to take a look at a video in a few moments about this. But it's amazing. Okay, so they were fastened together by sort of a tongue and groove system. And then held together by rings at the very top corner boards, as well as rings with bars through the rings that ran the length of the sides. So each side had these rings running alongside. And there were a total of 5 bars that ran the length of each side to hold them together. So there were 5 in total, 2 on top, 2 on bottom. The one in the middle ran in the middle of the boards, like right in the center through the boards, and held them all together. Also made of acacia wood, and they were covered with gold, all of them. Each board rested, each board that came down, 15 feet tall, and what is it, 2 feet 3 inches wide. Each board had 2 bases on the bottom made out of silver. All of this, by the way, was covered with gold. Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And sat on silver bases. Each board had 2 silver bases. These bases weighed 264 pounds. 264 pounds of silver. As we look at this, everything, the foundation basically of the tabernacle, what it all rests on are these silver bases. And silver is associated with redemption and atonement for sin. We know that Jesus was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, according to Matthew 26:15. The tabernacle's entire foundation was silver, pointing to the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, which is the only way of tabernacling or fellowshipping with our Heavenly Father. He is our Redeemer. And the whole foundation of our fellowship is upon Him, our Redeemer. These bars that was holding everything together. We have 4 on the outside and 1 that runs right through the middle. 4 are visible. 1 is invisible. You don't see it, but it's there. And it's helping to hold everything together. It brings the boards together and holds them there. This speaks of the unity of God's people. Because for you and I, we come together and it's both the seen and the unseen. And actually, the seen can only be visible by what is unseen. We love each other, and we know how to truly love because He first loved us. The Bible says we love because He first loved us. Verse 30 was another reminder that, as we come to that too, that Moses was to, we talk about the Word of God. We talk about how it is that not only does it instruct us, but it corrects us. It stirs us up. It shows us how it is that we are to fellowship with the Lord, first and foremost, and secondly, with each other, and how what it is that we serve here on earth, what purpose we have here on earth. But I love this because after all of that instruction that God gave Moses, he comes to verse 30 and he says, "Then you shall erect the tabernacle according to the plan for it that you were shown on the mountain." Now, he had said this before, didn't he? But he has to remind him again. I think we need to be reminded often of just that very verse right there. Why? Because Moses was to communicate to the people exactly how God had instructed him. Likewise, we need to communicate exactly what we've been shown in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ and the word which keeps us in sweet fellowship with him. If we start putting our own twists, our own turns, our own thoughts, our own philosophies into what God says, we start getting into trouble. Oh, this is really what love is. No, that's not what the word says. We need to be reminded often that, you know, as Christians, we can misrepresent the Lord. You know, well, I think this and I think that. Well, it shouldn't be what we think. Moses didn't go back to the Israelites. God did not give him the freedom to go back and tell them, "Hey, listen, God told me this. But let me clarify for you. And perhaps I can make it a little bit easier for you." He didn't do that. He didn't give him the freedom to do that. He said, "Hey, listen, exactly how I'm telling you to do this, you are to communicate with the people and tell them to make it this way. Don't add and don't subtract from my word." In fact, that's the very last thing that the Lord tells us in Revelation. Don't add, don't subtract. It's all perfect just the way it is. That's why I love, it's not simplistic, but the word of God, if we look at it, is truly understandable. And whatever he gives us in with complete perfection. Let's take it for what it is, and let's walk it out to his glory. And so this is what the Lord tells Moses. "Hey, listen, just a reminder. When you erect this tabernacle, do it according to the plan that I have shown you on the mountain." That's it. Just like that. And then he goes on to explain the veil, the holy place, and the most holy place, how to lay out its furnishings. Verse 31, "And you shall make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen. It shall be made with cherubim skillfully worked into it. And you shall hang it on four pillars of acacia overlaid with gold, with hooks of gold, on four bases of silver. And you shall hang the veil from the clasps and bring the ark of the testimony in there within the veil. And the veil shall separate for you the holy place from the most holy place. You shall put the mercy seat on the ark of the testimony in the most holy place, and you shall set the table outside the veil and the lampstand on the south side of the tabernacle opposite the table, and you shall put the table on the north side. You shall make a screen for the entrance of the tent of blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen embroidered with needlework, and you shall make for the screen five pillars of acacia and overlay them with gold, or hooks shall be of gold, and you shall cast five bases of bronze for them." So we come to the instructions on how to make the veil, which separates the holy place from the most holy place. Now, the tabernacle, once it was constructed with the Israelites in the wilderness, that was what stayed with them all the way through King David, and up until the time of King Solomon. It was King Solomon who built the temple, and thus, we don't see the tabernacle, but we see now the temple at that point moving forward. In fact, we see the temple all the way until the time of Jesus. And we're going to talk about that in a few moments. Now, the veil separated the holy place from the most holy place. It was made out of fine linen and embroidered within it beautifully made artistic designs, again, of what? Of cherubim. I can't even imagine the priests going in to serve the Lord, and all around them, they have this beauty. Like, just, I don't know, just like stand there and look around and enjoy it. Understanding what it all represents. The golden lampstand. Remember we read about the torches of fire, you know, in heaven and Revelation. We see how it is that the table of showbread represents fellowship. How it is that we also have the altar of incense, which talks about prayer. We're going to touch on that in a few moments. But what a beautiful illustration of what heaven is like. Now, the high priest could only go into the most holy place only one time per year, and that was on the Day of Atonement. It was only into the holy place that the priests could go into and serve the Lord in that place. But only once a year into the most holy place, and that was only by the high priest. Now, it's been said that the veil of the temple, which would be the one that was torn when Jesus died on the cross, when he gave his life, was 18 inches thick. This was not what we're looking at here. This was made out of fine linen. The curtain, the veil, and it's unconfirmed, actually, but it's been said that it was 18 inches thick in the temple. And we know that it was torn, as we read in the Bible, as the Bible tells us, it was torn from top to bottom. Spiritually speaking, our great high priest, Jesus Christ, entered the most holy place by his perfect blood and sacrifice, and thus has made consecrated. He was made consecrated for us. He served that place that we could never, by all the sacrifices that we could perform, could never accomplish what our great high priest accomplished once and for all. The torn veil symbolizes the broken body of Jesus Christ. And because of his sacrifice, we have access to the throne of grace. Hebrews 10, 19 and 20 says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh." And so we no longer had to have an earthly high priest to enter or represent us to go into the presence of the Lord, into the presence of the Father. But now, because of the work, the finished work of Jesus Christ, we can enter with confidence into the presence of the Lord. Matthew 27:51 says, "And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split." What a beautiful work. This is, and this begun here at the time that we're talking about in Exodus, and continue on, just pointing forward to the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And then we see it all come together as Jesus Christ, the unblemished Lamb, the Lamb of God, atoned for our sins, rent the curtain that separated us from the Father because of his broken body, because of his shed blood, and once and for all gave us access to the Father. How are we to live? I think about that. Man, how are we to live? It's absolutely amazing, isn't it? I think I read this, I'm like, wow, I'm like torn in such a good way in the Old Testament. Then we have this furniture that was set up. Let's read again verse 34 and 35. You shall put the mercy seat on the ark of the testimony in the most holy place, and you shall set the table outside the veil, and the lampstand on the south side of the tabernacle opposite the table, and you shall put the table on the north side. So, if you were to go into the tabernacle, going in from the east door, right? That's the only door, the east door. If you were to go in, you could look to your right, and you would see the table of bread. You look to your left, and you see the golden lampstand. And you see before you, and you see the altar of incense. The table of showbread speaks of fellowship. It was supposed to be changed out how often? Once per week. Remember that? It could only be eaten by the priests. The golden lampstand was to never be out of oil. We are never to be out of oil. Filled with the Spirit. Right? Filled. And our light's just shining, right? Because of Him. The altar of incense, speaking of prayer, should always be before the Lord, before going into the Holy of Holies. You see, all of this presents basically our relationship, our fellowship with the Lord. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's our obligation. It's our responsibility to take, partake of that bread that God gives us, and He's laid before us in His word. Yes, we're sealed for the day of redemption by the Spirit. He guarantees us that we are God's. But we are to be filled continuously with the Spirit. We need to ask the Lord, fill me once more with your Spirit. I don't know about you, but I need a filling all the time. We are leaky vessels. We are. As I'm sure you've heard. But we are leaky vessels. We need that inflowing of God's Spirit. And we should be these vessels that are open and willing and asking, requesting the Lord to do just that filling. That we could overflow to others around us. And then this altar of incense is just continuously being in prayer. I was talking with someone yesterday in regards to prayer. And it's not always, listen, it's not always on your knees and at a certain time and all that. Listen, it is that, but it's much more than that. Fellowship with the Lord and prayer with Him is something that you're doing all the time. It's acknowledging His presence every moment of every day of your lives. It's everywhere you go, everything you're doing, your thoughts, your decisions, you're having this conversation with Him. What do you think, God? What can you tell me about this? How should I act on this? Before I say something, what should, you know, and it's always there. That's beautiful to the Lord. That's this ongoing relationship that you're having with Him. Just life looks different. Life is different when we consider Him every moment of every day. And then we have, through the veil, in the most holy place, the Ark of the Covenant. Then we have the screen door. Even the tabernacle had a screen door. We have the screen door. You shall make a screen door, verse 36, for the entrance of the tent, of blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen, embroidered with needlework. And you shall make for the screen 5 pillars of acacia, and overlay them with gold. Their hooks shall be made of gold, and you shall cast 5 bases of bronze for them. Again, this was the only way to enter into the tabernacle. It was located on the east side. That was the entrance, which was beautiful and royal and pure. But its threshold was made of bronze. Bronze always speaks of judgment. And so it spoke of the necessity of judgment by a refining fire, and thus purity could only enter into the tabernacle. And with this, give us a picture of what Jesus did for you and I. Once more, in trial and sacrifice, and therefore imputing to us his righteousness as we enter into the holy place and most holy place. That's the only way we could enter. We can't enter saying, oh, I deserve this. I've been so holy and righteous this week, Lord, that I feel that I can confidently come into your presence right now. No, even on our best day, it's like dirty garments, polluted garments before the Lord. It is only by his covering that we can enter into his presence. So it's a beautiful picture. This whole chapter, what we're going through, we see what it all symbolizes, what it all means. And it was shown to Moses on top of Mount Sinai for the people of Israel to put together, to come together, to participate, to make their contributions to everything that the Lord had said for them to do. And so I see it as, you know, listen, we receive these instructions from the Lord. Everything that the Lord has to say, it's as has been instructed and shown to all of these people by inspiration of the Spirit to write down exactly how God instructed them. And therefore, it's passed on to you and I to participate in, to contribute to, and do the very things that make up the fellowship that we have here. And it's beautiful. To the Lord, it's beautiful when we do it according to his pattern. So, how that speaks to you, how it spoke to me, I'm sure it's similar and yet personal in so many different ways. You understand it fully now. Really, I tell you, go through it yourself. And kind of take your time. I said, it's just a beautiful picture. This is as was given to Moses from God and shown to him as a pattern of what was in heaven or what is in heaven. All right, so let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that even from this time, Lord, even from the beginning of time, Lord, you've been pointing to the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Lord, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. Lord, that day that we come to be in your presence will truly be glorious, and it's going to be for eternity. I pray, Lord, that the more you show us in your word of who you are and how much you love us, I pray, Lord, that we would more submit to you and live for you sacrificially to your glory. We know that anything, Lord, that we sacrifice on behalf of bringing you glory is not even to be compared to the glory that awaits us. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would continue to stir up your people, Father, that we would be willing and joyful to contribute and to participate in the way, in the pattern that you have laid out for us to live out here on earth as you've given to us in heaven. And so, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. We thank you, Lord, for the tabernacle. And we thank you, Lord, that even now you have completed that work to where we are tabernacling or having fellowship with you because of our surrender, our repentance, and our acknowledgement that you are our Lord and our Savior. You are our King. Thank you. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.